All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. And I want to give you a couple of things tonight I hope will be a blessing to you. Proverbs, chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 5 and 6, but I'm not going to preach from verse 5. I just want to read it. I like it. And they kind of go together, even though they are two separate verses. One ends with a period. The other ends with a period, but yet they're connected. All right, so let me read both of them, but I want to primarily speak to you from verse 6 tonight. All right, in verse 5, we read these words, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Those are some wonderful words right there. And on Wednesday, I came in the office and just picked up my Bible and started reading in Proverbs just for my own benefit. And when I got to verse 6, I stopped and I thought, I'm going to look at this verse a little bit more carefully. And so as I was looking at it more carefully, I said to myself, this is some real good advice. And so that's what I want to entitle my sermon tonight. This is some real good advice. All right? So keep your Bible open. Let's pray together, and then we'll continue on. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these verses. Thank you, Father, for the instruction and the guidance that these verses give us. And Lord, I pray that you will bless tonight in a great way and help us to see the simplicity of what's being said here. And may we be able to apply it and use it in our own lives. And Lord, we realize that this is an awful, awful world in which we live. And there are so many things that vie for our attention. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us tonight to see just how simple this little statement is, and then help us to put it to practice in our Christian lives. So bless now tonight. Thank you for all you've done already in our hearts, and I pray that you'll bless the message now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Years ago, I don't know, is probably 34, 35 years ago, I was invited to speak in a big conference down in Tennessee. And so I flew down on a Monday, and then I preached Monday night, and then I was to preach again on Tuesday night. But they had this big fellowship meeting. There were like three or four different fellowships that were there, and so they made a big to-do of it. There were a couple of hundred preachers in that conference. It was a big conference, and so the guy got up on Tuesday. The pastor got up on Tuesday morning. And he said, we're going to do something a little different this morning. And it was 9 o'clock. We started at 9 o'clock and went until noon, and then they had lunch for us. So here's what the pastor said. He said, I'm just going to call on some guys from the floor, and you come up and preach for 35 to 45 minutes long. He said, now don't abuse it. If you abuse it, he's a great big guy. And he said, if you abuse it, I'm going to tackle you at 45 minutes. Now, he was joking, of course, but you have to threaten them to get them to stop preaching at the time you want them to stop. And so anyway, he called this fella, and he was a young pastor, young preacher, and he got up and announced his text as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And he preached a very simple message on how Solomon's advice here is that it never expires. It never expires. He went on and said that it's never outdated. It is just as personal and just as meaningful today as it was many moons ago when he sat down and penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the book of Proverbs. And then he said that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, he said, I don't care how many sermons you preach on it, you'll never be able to exhaust it. You'll never be able to exhaust it. And so now, every time I think of this verse or I see it in my Bible, I just automatically remember that I don't remember the man's name. I don't remember his name, but he was just a young pastor. And to be honest with you, I don't know that I would even know him today if I saw him, if he's even still in the ministry or still living. But every time I hear this verse, I think of that service on that morning. You can never expire what Solomon said. It never is outdated, and it never can be exhausted. Well, I think that was very adequately put by this young man. Now, I then started thinking about how several years ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I have these black notebooks in my office, and so when I prepare a sermon, I used to put it on the little tiny pages, but I don't do that anymore because I can't see them. All right, so I put them on the bigger typing paper, and the font used to be real little, but now it's real big, as you can see. Because I can't see, I can't find where I am when I look down. I've got like, 45 or 50 black notebooks that are just full of sermons that I have preached over the years. And whenever I preach one out somewhere, I always put up at the top where I am, the date, And so I won't, if I ever go back to that church, preach that same sermon again. All right. I have no idea where to look for that sermon because I've got so many notebooks back there. Probably take me forever. And you know, when Ziggy starts looking for something, it's in the last notebook. All right. Yeah. All right. So anyway. I could not find out where that sermon or when that sermon was preached. But here's what I said in that sermon. I said, verse 5, that's our part. That's our part. That's what we are supposed to do. Verse 5, we are supposed to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. That's our part. And then the second point of the sermon was in verse 6, and this, I said, was God's part. And God's part is, in all thy ways acknowledge him, or that's still in the first part, but and here's what God's part is, and he, God, shall direct thy paths. So Again, you can't exhaust these two verses. I mean, they're just amazing. So this Wednesday morning, I sat down and I started reading this third chapter again. And when I got to the sixth verse, I stopped and I went back and I read it again, verse 1-6, and then I read it again. And I thought to myself, now that's some real good advice. So what I'm going to do tonight is speak to you a message that I'm going to entitle, Here's Some Real Good Advice. All right? So I hope you'll receive it and then put it into practice in your walk with God. I want to divide this sixth verse into three parts to help us get the most out of Solomon's exhortation here. First of all, I want you to look at the what. The what, W-H-A-T. Look at the what of this verse. Verse 6 tells us that we should acknowledge him. Now, who's the him? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. We are to acknowledge the Lord. The him here is the Lord. To acknowledge the Lord is to bring God into every situation that you and I might face. I mean, it's just to bring the Lord in on everything. I'm afraid there's too many folks that they come to church on Sunday and they carry their Bible in, and then they go home and they have a spot where they lay that Bible down so that they won't forget it the next Sunday morning when they go to church again. And that's all, that's it. 1 hour and 15, 20 minutes a week. And then what do you do with the rest of the time? Do we even think about the fact that there is a God? Well, I got to wonder sometimes if some folks do. You see, this says that we are to acknowledge him. To acknowledge God is to bring the Lord into every situation that we face in our life. I looked up the word acknowledge, and the definition is this. It means to admit or to recognize that something is true or that it's real or that it is existing. That's what it means to acknowledge something. So what does Solomon want us to do? He wants us to admit that God is God. He wants us to recognize that God is God. And he wants us to understand that the God who is God is the true and living God. I mean, just acknowledge God. So it means to show that you see or you notice someone. You see or you notice someone. You acknowledge them. All right? And that is what God wants from all of us, not just from the preacher, not just from the deacons, not just from those that have been saved for a long time. No, God wants all of us to accept him as a real part of our lives. When we actually notice that God is real and wants us to recognize him in all our ways, then that is taking the Christian life just one more step higher. I mean, it's just getting a little bit more closer to the Lord in our lives. And so it's to consider his word and his way and his will for my life. That's what it means to acknowledge God, to just recognize God and then act accordingly. You see, folks, God's will for my life is going to be so much better than my will for my life. You understand that? God's will is 10,000 times better for you and for me than doing our own will. Because God's will is what he wants out of us. I've told you before, I wanted to become a doctor and help people. And that was my will for my life. That was my goal for my life. But then the Lord called me about almost a year after I got saved. The Lord called me into the gospel ministry. I fought that call for a couple of months. I did not want to do that. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I did not want to become a preacher. I don't know why. I just didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be in full-time Christian service. However, God would not let me get away with saying no. I mean, it was just like for even 1 minute, God wouldn't let me rest. It was on my heart. And so finally, I surrendered to do what God wanted me to do. And, you know, I thought, and this is what I surrendered myself to do. I thought that the Lord wanted me to be a missionary. And I figured that the Lord would put me somewhere where I couldn't mess it up too bad. You know, that's what I thought. And so I told my pastor, I said, I think God's calling me to the mission field. And he said, well, what makes you think that? And I said, oh, I don't know. I guess maybe on the mission field, I couldn't mess things up too bad. And he started laughing and he said, trust me, you'll find a way. We all do. We all do. All right, but that was after I pulled my fist out of his mouth. No, I'm joking. I didn't do that. I wanted to, but it didn't. But God wouldn't let up on me, so I surrendered. And you know, too often, let's be honest, we do not acknowledge the Lord. I mean, the truth is, most of the time, we exclude God from our daily affairs. And God's way is never considered by the average person. And it's sad that it's not. You see, we don't pray about decisions that we need to make. Oh, we'll go and seek counsel from someone. We'll go and ask somebody else what they think about the situation. And normally it is somebody that is a friend, somebody that we know, whom we know is going to give us the answer that we want to hear. Let's be honest, that's what we do. But, you know, why don't we take things to the Lord? Why do we simply rely upon our own understanding? And that is exactly what Solomon is saying here in verse 5, that we are not to do. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You see, folks, you and I cannot see often the big picture like God sees it. A couple of weeks ago when I flew up to Detroit to preach in that Dr. Hamlin's conference, I drove down to BWI, got my car parked, and then I went over to the terminal. And it was raining. Oh my, it was raining cats and dogs. And so I thought, man, I hope this plane's on time. And so I got over there and went right through security, and I ran down to the gate, and I thought, man, I'm going to be late. So I hustled down there, and sure enough, I was late. And go figure. And so the girl said, are you Mr. Belcher? I said, yes. She said, come on, we're leaving. So I ran down the thing to get on the airplane. And as soon as I got on the airplane, I thought to myself, I don't know why we're in such a hurry here. They're never going to let this plane go. It's too bad. It's storming too bad. They're never going to let this plane go. Well, how wrong was I? I mean, it was almost like, hurry up. And they're up there doing their seatbelt thing and, you know, telling you, you know, if the thing crashes, there's a life jacket under your seat. Oh, that's good information to know. And on and on, you know, just quick as they could do it. And then they sat down. And the pilot came over and he said, folks, sorry we're in such a rush, but there's a bad storm coming directly at us from the rear, from the south. And he said, we got to get going right now or they're not going to let us out. He said, we've been cleared for takeoff. And about that time, he came around pretty quick and hit that runway and then just took off. Didn't slow down, didn't stop, didn't pass go, didn't collect $200. I mean, boom, down we went. And we took off in a storm. It was raining terribly. And the plane got up. And as soon as it got off the runway, you see the clouds going by. I saw a lightning strike out of the corner of my eye. Way off there, but I saw a lightning strike. And so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, it's a good thing we got out when we did. Or is it? You know? I mean, when you can look out the window and you start having flashes of your life go through your mind, you're kind of wondering, was this wise to take off in a thunderstorm? And so we hit the clouds and it's boom, boom, boom. We're bouncing everywhere. And sure enough, after a little while, that little bell went off and that gal came over and she said, we are now at 10,000 feet and you may feel free to use your laptops, but just make sure everything's in the airplane mode. And about that time, we came out of those clouds above them. And when we did, it was just like that plane was just floating through the air. Oh, it was so calm, and it was so pretty up there. You could look around and see the dark clouds down below. You couldn't see ground. You couldn't see the ground. But wait a minute, there's somebody who could look down and see the ground. God knew what was going on in the storm. And he knows what's going on in your storm and in my storm. He sees the big picture, does he not? And when we acknowledge that he sees the big picture, I mean, I never in my wildest dreams thought that we would take off in a driving rainstorm like we had that afternoon. But the guys in the tower, they had access to all that radar. They had it all right there in front of them. And they knew that if we're going, that if we go now, we can get out of there without damage. And so that's why they hustled us out of there. You see, they could see, those guys in the tower, they could see the whole picture with the radar right in front of them. They could see what I could not see. All right? And that's the same way with God, folks. You know, most people care little about God's way and rarely seek his advice. When advice is needed, how many times do we run to our friends? Well, your friends are going to tell you what you want to hear. They're most of the time not going to be honest with you. They're just not. But man, we need to pray about things. We need to pray about everything. Just seek God, acknowledge God. The what in this verse is simply to acknowledge him. It amazes me how our courts will not give God the time of day. And my question is, well, since when did one of these Supreme Court justices know more than God? Where'd law come from? It came from God. Where does right come from? It comes from God. And yet we have put the law into the hands of 9 people, and what they say goes. Well, listen, there was a Supreme Judge long before there was ever a Supreme Court. And right here is the law. But we don't seek God. We don't seek his. If we did, we wouldn't have abortion. If we did, we wouldn't have up in, what was it, New Hampshire? Was it Massachusetts? One of them up there. That woman just signed a law 9 months and whatever else. I mean, after the child is born, can you make a decision now? Well, I don't want the baby. They'll kill the baby. Can you believe that? You say, why does that stuff happen? Because men simply refuse to acknowledge God. Since when did any of those politicians down in Washington, D.C. know more than the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable God of the universe? When did they get all intellectual here? You see, the problem is we do not think that we need the God of truth and the God of right and the God of righteousness and the God of judgment and justice. I mean, the ACLU complains, and then all of a sudden, God gets shoved to the back burner somewhere while man is acknowledged and God is forgotten. Welcome to 2026 America. Liberals hate God. They hate his word. So they use the courts to sue those who acknowledge God. And thus the divide. They sue, so God is removed from the classroom. How's that worked out? I submit to you, not very well. They sue, and God is removed from the military. They sue, and God is removed from government. They sue, and Jesus is removed from state government and Congress. Don't want God. No, sir. Don't want to acknowledge him. But you see, folks, when this happens, what you end up with is a bunch of foolishness. Like evolution, for example. It's a theory. That's all it is, and it's a horrible theory. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in Bible creation. Yeah. Yeah. Takes a lot more faith. a theory, no facts. They can't prove anything they state. Can't prove anything. But when men refuse to acknowledge God, what follows is falsehood. All up and down the spectrum. Secondly, I want you to look at the when. All right, the what is acknowledge him. But now, when? All right, when? Well, Solomon here says, in all thy ways. You know what that means? That means from the time you get up in the morning until the time you get unconscious at night. Yeah. We just ought to acknowledge him. We are to bring God into the picture on all occasions. I've had situations that I've had to face where I felt like, oh, I don't need any help with this matter. But then I soon found out that I needed God's mind on the issue more than I could have ever thought. In all thy ways. You see, folks, the truth is there's never a situation in life where it is safe not to consider God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. We should consider God in every decision that we make. Teenagers, let me help you for a moment. All right, let me help you for a moment. Teenagers, if you don't ever hear anything else I say, please hear this tonight. Please hear this. While you're still in school and home, before you graduate from college or from high school, would you start praying today, right now? Start praying now for God to bring you the person that you are supposed to marry. God's choice for you. Let God bring the woman he wants you to marry, guys, or girls, the man that God wants you to marry. Start praying about that. I mean, make it a part of your prayer daily. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways. And I'm telling you, that's one of the most important matters for you to pray about. Here's another one. Pray, Lord, what is your will for my life? You're still home. You're still here. You're still under mom and dad's roof. You're still under the authority of your pastor. Hey, listen, start now praying about what does God want me to do? And let him lead you. Let him lead you. And if you let him, he will. We ought to pray about everything, folks, in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, God is not just for times of crisis, you know. God's not a blue light special. You know, he's not a Kmart blue light special that you just go running to whenever he has something on sale. No, God wants us to acknowledge him not only in the crisis, but when things are going well. A few years back, it was a Saturday morning, and I thought I'm gonna go down 140. Won't be anybody on the road this morning, Saturday morning. I'm gonna go down the road here, and I'm gonna stop at Dunkin' Donuts and get me a big old Boston cream donut, amen. And get me a coffee as big as they'll sell me. And so as I was getting close, I was somewhere up around the mall, and I started to pray, and I said, Lord, if it's your will that I stop in Dunkin' Donuts this morning, Let there be an empty parking space right in front of the door. And finally, on the fifth time around the block, that space was open. Now, is that divine intervention or what? No, I'm joking with you about that. That didn't really happen. Yeah, I know they shrunk them. They're still good, though. But folks, here's the point. God is, we need God just as much for sunshiny days as we do for the rainy days. I mean, we need the Lord in all our ways. And Solomon is showing us that God is to be considered in every area of our lives. And notice here that this is not just for some of our ways, but Solomon said, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And boy, if we would do that, I think we would not be making as many mistakes as we go through life as what we make. Sometimes we have our good days, but let's be honest, sometimes we have our troubled days. But still, just acknowledge him. In the good and in the bad. You say, well, I really need him in the bad. Yes, you do, but you need him in the good too. Let me give you a little simple thought here that I had about this. You know, the idea that doing things God's way well, that's not something that is going to work to our benefit until we realize that it is in all thy ways. You see, every situation, yes, every situation. But look, no, don't butt. Who butts? Goats butt, exactly. Sheep follow. And Solomon says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct your path. He'll direct your path. This great all-encompassing truth is what makes God so practical in our daily lives. The what is we are to acknowledge God. When? Well, we are to acknowledge him in all our ways. But then lastly, let's look at the why. The why. We have the what, we have the when, and now we have the why. The why is found at the end of verse 6. He shall direct thy paths. That's why we are to acknowledge him. When we acknowledge him, he leads us. He directs our paths. I cannot tell you how absolutely crushed I was when I got kicked out of college my senior year. I got kicked out of Bible college for knowing and not telling. I was not involved. I had nothing to do with it. But I heard about it and I didn't report it. And so somebody figured out that I knew and didn't tell. So I got the same punishment that the 16 who did the wrong deed, I got the same punishment that they got. I wasn't with them. I found out about it really by accident in senior study hall. There was me and another fella in senior study hall. And I kept smelling liquor. I just kept smelling it. And I said, Tim, and he looked up, and when I looked into his eyes, I knew he was drunk. I grew up around that. And I looked into his eyes, and I said, you've been drinking? No. No. And so I got the same punishment that all the rest of them did. You talk about crushed. The dean said, What's your home phone number? I'm going to call your dad. And I said, no, you're not. No, sir. He said, well, he's got it. I said, wait a minute. I'm 21 years of age. No, you're not calling my dad. He said, well, why wouldn't you want me? This was later. Why didn't you want me to call him? I said, because I was afraid he'd get in the car and come down here and wear you out. That's why. And he said, oh, well, I'm glad you didn't call him. I'm glad I didn't call him then. I said, yeah, me too. I mean, imagine that phone call. Dad, how you doing? Are you sitting down? Got some really bad news for you. That was rough. That was rough stuff. Why? Why should we acknowledge him? Well, if we do, he directs our paths. You see, this is the blessed result bringing God into every area of our lives. He guides our footsteps. He guides our footsteps. We all need directing in our lives. Would you agree? All of us. So many Christians are staggering around today, obviously without direction, but the God you trust to forgive your sin and to wash you in the blood of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is asking you and me to acknowledge him and to acknowledge him in every way, in all your ways. But then he tacks on a promise. If we will acknowledge him, he will direct our path. I'm telling you, we're getting the good end of that deal. We are getting the good end of that deal. You see, life is like walking in a trackless desert. It's a wilderness that begs for a guide, but there's no one there to guide. And unless the Lord shows up and guides you, you're certain to become a victim of its unforgiving ways. A couple of times, looking back, I can see that, man, I'm glad the Lord was there. I'm glad I had somebody to lean on. But we will not benefit from the great blessings of having God's direction and guidance if we're not acknowledging him in every aspect of our lives. Several years ago, I'll close with this illustration. Several years ago, I was in my office. This was when I was at, Karen and I were at Bell Creek Baptist in Dixie, West Virginia. And I was in the office. It was a Saturday evening, and I was trying to get my messages done. And a car pulled in to the side door of the church. And so I figured it was, you know, somebody saw the light on. They were stopping in, wanting to chat. Well, I didn't realize, but it was a pastor down the road who stopped in and wanted to chat. And he said, I got in my car and I drove over here hoping that you'd be in your office, and now you are. And I said, okay, well, what's up? And he told me, he said, brother, I don't know what to do. I said, well, about what? And he began to tell me that he was torn between going back to the church that he left to come to this church where he was now. And I said, why are you bringing this to me? What do you want me to do? He said, well, I need some advice. And I said, brother, listen, if I tell you go back to your old church and you're not supposed to go back, or if I tell you stay at this one and you're not supposed to stay, who ends up being the bad guy no matter what? And I said, here's what you need to do. You need to get up on a mountain somewhere alone with your Bible, and you need to beg God Almighty to guide you in what to do. And he said, man, you're 100% correct. And so out the door he went. Out the door he went. And Monday morning, he got in his car and he went to a cabin way out in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia. If I had to find that cabin today, I don't think I could find it. I mean, that thing was out in the middle of nothing. And he went up there. There was no heat. There was no electricity. And it was cold. But he went up there and just spent Monday, all day Tuesday, and half a Wednesday praying and fasting, asking the Lord what he was supposed to do. And when he came down from the cabin, he swung by my office again, and I was in there working on Wednesday night's message, and he came and knocked on the door and then popped the door open, and he said, thank you. I said, for what? He said, I got my answer. I said, where have you been? You look awful. He said, I haven't had a shower in 2 days. I've been up at the cabin. Now, that cabin belonged to a friend of ours, and there was no key. You just walk in, all right? And so we would go up there whenever we wanted to go hunting or fishing or whatever. We'd get away for a few days, go up there. And I said, you look awful. And he said, well, I may, but I got my answer. And I said, well, what's your answer? And he said, the Lord has led me to stay where I am. And I thought, man, that's good. That's good. You need to stay where you are. And he started smiling. He said, just wanted to stop and say thanks. Well, I didn't do anything for him. I didn't make the decision for him. But he got out and got alone with God. And in all his ways, he acknowledged the Lord. And guess what? The Lord directed his path. And he'll direct yours. Young people, he'll direct yours. Well, what am I supposed to do? Talk to him about it. Talk to him about it. And he'll guide you. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I pray you'll bless this. Help all of us to understand and realize that we need to acknowledge you in all our ways. We need to acknowledge you. And Father, thank you for that promise that when we do, you will direct our paths. And Lord, I want to pray for our young people in here. I pray that you will touch their hearts. Lord, I don't know what your perfect will for any of these young people. I don't know what your will is for any of them. But Father, help them to acknowledge you with the understanding that when they do, you'll direct their paths. And Father, it's amazing how you work and how you do that. And I just pray that you'll help our young people here to seek your face in everything they do, just to get you in on their lives. And bless, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.